I want to thank the Reverend McKee for his invitation to come tonight, and the elders as well, of course. We always count it a privilege to be able to give a word of testimony of what the Lord has done for us. Good to renew fellowship with the Reverend McKee. We serve on two boards together, so oftentimes we come across each other in presbytery business. I want to turn you, men and women, young people, please, to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, just let me read some of these opening verses in this chapter. My prayer is that the Lord might bless tonight, and especially if you're not saved, that you might come seek the Lord while you may be found. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches at Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' language, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited it in the Jews' language above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Amen. Just ending tonight at the words of verse 18, we know the Lord himself will add his own divine blessing upon us. Let's have a wee word of prayer just as we come to God's word and to the personal word of testimony. Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already tonight. We praise thee, Lord, thy presence makes the feast. Thank you, Lord, for the old hymns of Zion that we've been singing. And Lord, we're sure if we walked round every soul in this house, we're sure that the answer would be that want to be walking that golden street of heaven one day. But Lord, we pray that men and women tonight, boys and girls, young people, will realize that they'll only be there if they're depending on the blood, on that one for all sacrifice for sin at Calvary. Pray, Lord, that thou would bless the word to each heart. To that end, give me words from thyself. Give us words that must and shall prevail. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The churches that Paul had seen started in the region of Galatia were invaded with false teachers. They were Judaizers because they tried to bring the new converts to Christ back into the bondage to the law of Moses. But Paul writes this epistle to magnify the grace of God in salvation and to explain the liberty that people, God's people, have because of that grace. And I just want to say, before I go any further tonight, that anything I say in terms of testimony is not about me, but it is all about God's grace from my birth to this present hour. I could say, like the words of the psalmist that we read in Psalm 66 and verse 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." And Paul opens with a personal affirmation as he personally explains how God delivered him from his bondage, a bondage of religiosity, a bondage in the Jewish religion, but he was delivered through faith in Christ. And to the apostle, the gospel was more than merely a message he preached. It was a miracle that he had experienced. And so from what he used to be as a hater of the gospel, he reveals the change that was to take place in his life. And men and women, true conversion means a change. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And it brings a freedom in Christ. Not a freedom to do what we like, but rather to become all that you can in Christ. Christ died that he might deliver us from our sins. That's what Paul writes in verse 4. That's what Paul had experienced. And that's why he didn't need to go back to the old Judaism and the old laws of Moses. The gospel that Paul makes reference to here was not something that he invented. It wasn't something that even he learned from others. It was given to him, revealed to him by God. There's only one gospel, men and women. Only one. And any who would seek to add to it, or take from it, or even substitute it with another message, is only out to destroy it. Is it any wonder here that Paul attacked those who attacked the gospel? For if we lose the gospel, we lose everything. And thereby we read in verse 9, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Let him be anathema. There's no wonder the forefathers of this denomination sought to defend the gospel, sought to contend for it from those who attacked it, from those who watered it down, from those who denied the fundamentals of it. And dear people, tonight the gospel is still being attacked. There are those who seek to add to it. There certainly are those who seek to water it down. And there are others, and they've substituted it for a social message. And it's not the gospel. You ought to thank God tonight you're in a church that preaches the gospel, as it is revealed to us in God's word. I want to use as an outline for my testimony the words of the apostle in verse 15 and 16. "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." I believe we could say the first thing there is he speaks of mercy. It's God who creates us and gives us breath, gives us life, and gives us every good thing. Do you see when that is? It is before we even come forth from our mother's womb. "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb." The psalmist could say the same. Psalm 51 verse 5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He, in other words, explicitly states, it was me that existed from conception. not some blob of cells that later became me. We live in a wee land tonight that murders the unborn, has legalized it. And Paul speaks of the mercy and God's plan, and it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. In God's plan, I was born in the year that abortion was legalized in the UK. But in God's mercy, I was born into a home where the children were cherished. The children were loved. I can say we're born into a Christian home. Both our parents were saved. I brought up on a small farm. The cows had to be milked. My father by trade was a car mechanic, a car technician, I think the word is these days. He worked most of his days, his working life, for Irish Road Ford Motors. But his passion was the cows, rearing the calves. My mother was a seamstress, dressmaker. In a family of four, you're looking at the youngest. My father was a family of 12. And you know, there's only one girl among them. She was the oldest. They used to tell it around the country that there's 12 of us. There's 11 boys, and each one of us has a sister. And people started to count. Many was that? Well, we had four in our family. Sister Rhoda was the oldest. She married when she was pretty young. I must have been 5 at the wedding. My older brother, memories of him, my childhood days, where he was always leaving. He went to Bible college in England. My other brother, there was 9 years between me and him. Strange the things that you only learn after you get married yourself. I only learned that my mother lost 2 little children in those intervening 9 years. They didn't reach the light of day. That home, just outside Portadown, towards Tandragee, church played a major part of it. It was an Irish Presbyterian home. And both my father and mother were Church of Ireland. But when they married, they separated. And they came under the ministry of William Craig. Many of you will know him. So it was a Presbyterian home. It was a home where we were sent to church. You weren't asked. You were sent. And there was also 2 Sunday schools. So we had a Sunday school in the morning, and then we had a Sunday school in the afternoon. And when you got old enough, the bicycle had to come out, and you cycled into that afternoon Sunday school. A strict Sabbath home. No football, no television on the Lord's Day. We're taught the reverence of the house of God. When you're old enough, you wore a suit to church. You had your Sunday best. A wee bit like Joseph. We read about Joseph in Genesis 41 and 14. When Pharaoh called for him, we read that he was hastily brought out of the dungeon. He was washed and shaved and changed his raiment going in to meet the king. Men and women, I trust we don't lose that. Because today there's a dressing down coming to God's house. There's a big day happening this Saturday. I guarantee there'll be no dressing down to go and see the King Charles. We're coming to meet the king. King of kings. And so that's the sort of home that we were brought up in. My sister wasn't saved. My 2 brothers were. But you know, after church on Sunday night, wouldn't have been strange for us to be brought to another meeting. Missions. Those missions were conducted by Faith Mission Pilgrims. Other times it was Bolan and Grant, Sam Workman. Woolly Mullen. Now, some of the young people will not remember maybe some of those names, or many, very many of them. But I see some heads moving and shaking when I mention Sam Workman, Woolly Mullen. My father used to bring me every harvest time. He preached in the cattle mart in Portadown. He stood where the auctioneer stood and he preached to the men right round him. What a mercy. What a mercy that I was brought under the preaching of the gospel. And I want to tell you, men and women, the fear of God abounded in those meetings. Many a night, even as a child, I went out realizing I'm a sinner. Realizing where my sin was taking me to a lost eternity. Eternity, and not deservedly so. But realizing that there's one who came to be the Savior. There's one who shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross, that he might purchase eternal redemption for sinners just like me. The fear of God was there. Old Boland and Grant used to pinhole you at the door before you get out and ask you where you see you. Many a lie was told there. But you knew the fear of God in those meetings. And I can identify with what Paul wrote to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. What a mercy. Child tonight, young person, you're coming to the house of God and mommy and daddy see you. Thank the Lord for it. That's the best start in life. That you're under the influence of the gospel, not only in the church, but in your home. I knew my need of God's salvation from my earliest days. I had aunties that were faithful in the good news clubs. I was blessed. I was privileged, yet not saved. Still no change that was wrought. I wonder, does that sum you up tonight before I go any further? You have a respect for the things of God and the gospel and the house of God and the minister, but you're not saved yourself. Mercy. You know, Paul goes on to speak about the miracle. For when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And my testimony is all of God's grace. And as we make our way through, you'll notice the providence of God. And the Lord makes no mistakes, men and women. He is sovereign. You know, we think today we're in control. There's a lot of people and they realize or they think that they're in control of what they do tomorrow and what they'll do some other day. And we start to realize we're in control of very little. God is sovereign. And there's little pieces right throughout my life story, my testimony, and you'll see that. For Paul, God revealed Christ to him. And you all know, of course, it was in extraordinary circumstances. For suddenly there was the bright light above the noonday sun that shone unto him on that Damascus road in Acts chapter 9. And that was the time where Paul was converted from Saul of Tarsus. That was the day where Saul was saved from being a persecutor to become a preacher. What a miracle God's salvation is. He revealed Christ in him. For Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, men and women, tonight, I don't know many of you, but here you are. You're either in Christ or else you're in sin. There's no other place. And Paul, Saul, was in sin, but he's able to speak now of revealing his Son in me. And he's found in Christ. I bring you forward in time to 1978, month of November. It's a 3-week gospel campaign, happened to be in our church in Portadown. The evangelist was the Reverend Sam Workman. Now, Sam Workman was a congregational minister from White Abbey, but he was an evangelist, and he conducted many, many missions. And he was one of those evangelists that as a young boy of 10 or 11, he held my attention. And I was at that mission night after night. But it came to the last Friday night, and I distinctly remember the Lord dealing with me other nights, but other interruptions came into place. But God dealt with me particularly on that last Friday night, the 17th of November. The text that Sam Workman brought that night was, "Be sure your sin will find you out. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I was greatly troubled that night. I should say to you, as a very shy person, still am, have to work at it. And so I didn't stay behind after the church, after the meeting was over, but I went home. I got down the side of my bed, and just as an old sinner, I cried unto the Lord to save me, to wash me in his precious blood, to make me a child of God. And you know, the Lord answered prayer. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And the change was wrought. And you know, that's how you can be saved tonight as well, just by faith in Christ alone. There's times we lacked assurance. There didn't seem to be much encouragement to attend the prayer meetings, particularly for young people. It wasn't done. I want to say, young person, tonight you're saved. You get into the prayer meeting. That's where you'll grow. That's where you'll get stronger. And so there's times I struggled to grow. And even times there was a lack of assurance. But you know, the Lord gave me Galatians 2 and 20 one night. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a verse. The Lord was gracious. As times we grew cold, teenage years, backsliding just doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual thing. You know, sometimes the Lord has to speak loudly to awaken you. One Friday afternoon, I came home from school and through the back door, sister standing there at the stove. That never happened. My mother came off the phone, tears running down her eyes. The story, that very morning my cousin went to school as normal. She took a bit of a sore head at break time. She went across the road to a friend, with a friend to her house, and she sat down. She was gone. 15 years of age. But you know, Christina was saved. She used to sing with her stepmother in independent Methodist circles. And I tell you, that spoke. That's God speaking loudly. And that spoke to my heart even at that time. We learned to trust in the Lord more for every situation. Through school, back in the day, they were known as O-levels and A-levels. And I have to say that the Lord gave us good friends. A couple of friends that were with us right from our primary school into high school and into grammar school. Down in Portadown, you don't do the 11 plus. Different system there. You go into high school for 3 years and then you go either to the tech or to the grammar school. And I had good friends. And they were godly friends. Especially those last years of my school, they were a great help. I would say to the young people tonight, you seek godly company. Your friends will either make you or they'll break you. They'll either help you or they'll hinder you. And I had friends that helped us even in those years. We trusted the Lord through those years. We got a look at O-levels. There's one or two I had to repeat. And I said to myself, well, we'll do a couple of A-levels as well. And the old English had to be repeated, the O-level, so we persevered with that. And come the end of the A-level time, 2 years after that, I said to myself, there's no university for me. All the rest of the class was going to university. But I had enough. Got the A-levels done, walked out through the gate and said, that's the last exam for me. What do you hear later? Well, we did the A-levels. We got into work during those last years. I was working in a men's drapery shop on the weekends. Also did a night in a filling station. And after a short time after we left school, the position of manager came up in the filling station. And I got that job. I was running the filling station on the Guildford Road, just opposite nearly where Bethany Church is to this day. We spent there a while. And after that, we went into a sales job with a wholesale fruit man and a little bit of bookkeeping. But you know, there's still the void. And I, men and women, I want to say tonight that God's salvation doesn't only mean you're right for heaven. It's an everyday experience with the Lord. And you prove the Lord. And you prove the Lord in your workplace and in your school. And I have proved the Lord often. As manager of the filling station, job started at 7:30 in the morning. But you know, my world was turned upside down one day, one Thursday night, because my father took a heart attack. Next thing, he's landed in Craigavon. That meant another thing. Not only was he severely unwell, but I had the responsibility of the cows. Now, I'm not trying to paint the picture that we had many. We hadn't. The milk was really for ourselves and rearing of calves. But still there was extra responsibility. But in a very sudden time. I remember during that time, the next morning, the following morning maybe, I was bringing a bale of hay over to the byre, and I threw it down, and I sat down on it, and I prayed, Lord, preserve my father. You know, God answered prayer. And some days later, after a week or so, my father came home. He never went back to Irish Road. What he did was he built a garage at home and did the MOT work there for many a customer. But that was a time where we proved the Lord and still continued, being able to continue our own work. We proved the Lord meeting a life's partner, relationships. We had one or two. One in particular lasted some months, but it broke up. You know, I prayed, Lord, bring the right girl to me. My friends were getting sort of worried. 6 months later, there was no new handbag on my arm. You see, you fellas are running about the country looking a girl. Just sit your ground. The Lord will bring them to you. That's what he did with Adam. He brought Eve to Adam. Well, one night I was sitting in church up on the balcony, friends beside me. Then walked this girl behind us, bright, bright yellow suit with a real hat. You know, I sometimes go around the farmyards. I look out for the chickens. I look and see if they're missing a handful of feathers as an excuse for a hat. But this was a real hat. This wasn't a bunch of feathers. And I says to myself, well, I have to see who she is. It turned out that one of my friends worked for it with her. We got talking to her after the meeting. I ended up actually leaving her home because her brother forgot about her. So that was handy. And we got on well, and she brought me to Dungannon Free Church the next Sunday night for the Children's Day. And I just asked her out there and then. Well, we were married. That was June 87. We were married 18 months later. Now, I'm not saying, young people, that's how quick you have to do it, but the Lord answers prayer. There's no point in hanging about. And the Lord was gracious to us. That's 35 years ago, the end of this year. Praise his name. And Cherie has been a great encouragement to us. We set up home in Alfmore. There's a decision that had to be made before the marriage, and that was many decisions, of course, but one vital decision was where we're going to worship. The Lord had been stirring up my nest. There was a tampering with the Westminster Confession of Faith in the Irish Presbyterian Church not long before that. And even as a young 18, 19-year-old or so, I understood there's something not right here. Something wasn't right. And so we prayed about the matter. We had to make a decision where we were going to worship. I really can say effectively I'd left the old church in 87, 88. We got married on the last day of the year, and we became communicant members in Dungannon in the start of 89. God blessed us in those years with three boys. I can say we thank God for them. We can say we pray for them every day. And the Lord has blessed them. Two of them you'll know brave and well around these parts. And the Lord has blessed us so far, the two grandchildren as well. I proved the Lord in relationship, life's partner. I proved the Lord in His faithfulness, throughout married life. I have had the joy of pointing my boys to the Savior. Household salvation is a great blessing. It was prayed in the prayer meeting before our meeting tonight. God would give household salvation here. And you know, men and women, the Lord has been good to our home, blessed us. I've proved the Lord in bereavement. Lost my father in 2010. He had dementia for about 4 years prior to that. But I just want to take you back about 3 or so years ago, 2019. Most people will remember 2019. They talk about COVID-19. Well, just about 6 months before that, my mother reached her 90th birthday. A little party for her. And 3 weeks later, the Lord called her home. Standing beside my sister, as people came into the church hall for that funeral service, two brothers the other side. Little did I know that 7 weeks later I'd be doing the same. You see, 2017 in October, there's another bombshell. Rhoda told us that she had cancer. That cancer was unbelievable in the sense that she had just gone to the hospital for a routine checkup. She was called back in again. Oncologist said to her, "I don't know how you're standing. That's through your bones." My sister said, "I haven't got an ache nor pain. I haven't an ache nor pain." She loved traveling. And she had plans to travel. And next near 2 years, she had a couple of treatments, etc., of chemo. But you know, after my mother's funeral, start of August actually, things weren't good. She ended up in Craigavon Hospital just across from our house. The doctor called us in at the start of that week. She says, "I don't think she'll be here by the weekend." She wasn't saved. But you know, the Lord makes no mistake. My mother didn't know about her sickness, and the Lord took her first. I had an opportunity to sit down again at the bedside. Spoke to her of the things of God. Didn't go to church really. That was a Saturday, that was the Friday. The Monday, when we heard what the doctor had said, we decided as the brothers that we would sit with her the rest of the week. A wee woman came in to the room. And she said to Rhoda, "Do you remember the verse that I read the other day to you, John 3 and 16? And she nodded. She said, "I did." She made a wee prayer and away she went. I said to my sister, I said, "Do you remember that verse?" I said, "Do you remember what I spoke to you about being saved?" She said, "Yes." says, when did it happen? Sunday. She nodded the head. God was merciful. And I believe the Lord did that work in the last week of her life on this earth. She passed away that following Saturday night. You know, God made no mistake. His timing is always perfect. My mother went first. She never knew anything about COVID-19. My sister was taken 7 weeks later with cancer. She never knew anything about COVID-19. The Lord's good men and women. What a miracle. And we're still in the miracle business tonight as well. He can save you. One final thought in the ministry. He called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I happened to forget to ask the Reverend McKee when your meeting stops. But then I should know, because my son often rings me about near 10 o'clock every Sunday night. I'm only home from church now, so I've an hour yet. The ministry, that I might preach him among the heathen. Paul was an instrument in God's hand. He said on that Damascus road in chapter 9 of Acts in verse 15, or before that, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he sent Ananias. The Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He's called to preach Christ. He had a very particular ministry as the apostle to the Gentiles, but he will also stand before kings, and he will also minister to the Jews. And verse 20 of Acts 9 tells us, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He preached Christ. The Lord called him by his grace. The Lord revealed the Savior. The Savior was revealed to him in salvation, that he might preach him among the heathen. He's given his testimony here. There's another thing I haven't told you about my youthful days. I played a bit of football. Now, I'm not standing here and saying to you that I was brilliant or I was even great, but I enjoyed it. I played for Portadown Old Boys in the Mid-Ulster League. I do like sport. You know by... the look of me now that I don't play any longer. I do like a wee bit of golf now. Not brilliant at that either, but I enjoy it. But I say that, men and women, young people, because there was a conflict. And the conflict was this. The football training, if you expected to be on the team on the Saturday, you'd need to be at the training. The training happened to be on a Tuesday night. What was on the Tuesday night? The prayer meeting. And you know, I started to bargain. I said, Lord, we'll maybe go to the training one night and we'll go to the prayer meeting the other week. It came around to the summer period, and there was pre-season training, as they call it, starting off a new season and so forth. And I said to Cherie, I'll go to the training tonight. Reverend Baxter, he's away on holidays and some of the elders are taking the prayer meeting. Good chance for me to go to the training. So I drove the distance into Portadown. I arrived in good time. I sat, and there wasn't a body about the place. Not a car. I rang my brother. I said, is the training on tonight? Oh, aye. I waited another while. And I says, I'm not waiting any longer. Got the car started again, back home. Got the sports gear off, got the suit on. Ended up in the prayer meeting in Dungan before 8 o'clock. As I said to you, the Reverend Baxter was away, one of the elders, I'll not mention who it was, but he was a bag of nerves. He had been up half the night trying to get a wee message together. He even turned the prayer meeting round. So we got us praying first, and hoping, I suppose, that the prayer time went on longer than he expected. And then he brought a wee word. He made reference to two books. One of them I can't remember. The other was to do with C.T. Studd, who left his cricket career, who left his fortune, and he went as a missionary to China. And the thrust of his message was to obey the call of God. And men and women, it wouldn't have mattered if there's any other in that prayer meeting. That message was for me. That message was for me. And that message was confirmed in my heart about 3 weeks later in my own private readings. I read Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. The Lord says, "Follow me, and I will make thee fishers of men." The Lord calling me. Just a lad from down the lane in a little farm outside Portadown. I approached the Reverend Baxter about these thoughts. And he started to tell me what I needed to get into the college. You know what? I already got the exams. That old English exam that gave me trouble and I had to repeat. Happy days, I got it. I didn't need to do any pre-exams going in. So we sent a letter in, application. We were interviewed by Presbytery in the middle of the morning in Londonderry. We entered the Whitfield College in 1990. First day of study, Reverend McKee will remember it, no doubt. Dr. Douglas takes his time to labour the point, to study thyself, to show thyself approved unto God. Before that day was out, I realised I was back in the studies. Remember I said so many years, 5 years earlier, that's the last exam that I would ever do? I think the Lord sometimes has a sense of humour. 70 or 80 exams later, before I got loose from that place. That first day I went home. After hermeneutics, Greek, something else, church history. Hermeneutics, I couldn't spell the word. Didn't know what it meant. And my head was sore by the time I got home. And I went home and I said, "Lord, what am I doing there? What am I doing there?" And you know, Lord, give me a verse that night that has stuck with me. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I'll tell you what a word in season that was. In the college back in those days, there was 35 in the Thursday meeting, Thursday lectures. There's 9 in my own year. I was sitting with the likes of Wesley Graham, Andy Foster, Gregor McCammon, some of those boys. Brain boxes. But you know, the Lord helped us through. I want to tell you, they were good years. It's different when you enjoy what you're learning. And the Lord blessed us and helped us through every exam. During the last year, Presbyterian in their wisdom brought out the matter of your final year, you go to be under a senior minister for a little bit of practical work in some of the congregations. I got the word through, the Reverend Curran wanted me. Reverend Curran, let's let the Bible speak, man. That's our English lecturer. Those months were a blessing. I learned more wisdom from the Reverend Curran. And that has begun a long association with him in Let the Bible Speak. The Reverend McKee is also on that board tonight. What's it all about? Preaching Christ to the heathen. Preaching the gospel. I want to take the opportunity of thanking this congregation for getting behind LTBS shops. The many conversations there are amazing. Since we opened Armagh, we know of at least 2 Roman Catholics who have been converted directly through the shop just before Christmas. To God be all the glory. Finished the college 1994. November the 14th, we started as a licentiate assistant. Only difference was I had a congregation, was our Dara. What doing? Preaching Christ among the heathen. That unconverted might receive him as our Lord and Saviour. About 1999, I was put on the mission board or so. I had the privilege of preaching Christ among the heathen in 4 continents of this world. I've preached in Kenya and Americas. Have the joy of being in Nepal. And the people have come for hours, 14 hours in some cases, to sit under the preaching of the word. And they sit and they sit all day and they drink it in. I've had the joy of being back there twice, just last November time, to officially open that new radio station outside the Kathmandu Valley. Men and women, listen, God is good. You'll see places in Christ that you've never seen before. You'll see things happening that you've never seen before. After Ardara then, nearly 10 years in Garba, just over 10 years in Mourne. Now we're about 1.5 years in Market Hill. What doing? Preaching Christ. His virgin birth. His sinless righteous life. His atoning death, where he shed his own precious blood for sinners and rebels such as we. His resurrection from the dead and glorious ascension and coming back for his own. Men and women, young person tonight, Christ is the only Savior. There's no other message worth proclaiming. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you know him as your Savior tonight? Are you ready for his coming? You know, as a young boy, many a time I heard about the Savior's coming on the judgment day, and I wasn't ready, and I knew it. And the fear of God gripped my heart. Are you ready tonight? I desire to be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, I've drawn you to some words of testimony that he has given to the Galatians tonight. But, you know, he says this in Acts 26, verse 22. He says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and show forth light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Paul's ministry was, he preached Christ. And that's how the book of Acts finishes. For the last verse tells us, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That word forbidding is the only time it's used in the New Testament. That's how the Acts of the Apostles ends, unhinderedly. Those 2 years in his hired house in Rome, under house arrest, he preached Christ. He taught the things of God, and he was unhindered in doing so. I thank God the book of Acts doesn't end with his death. He's just continuing to preach Christ. The work goes on. And the work goes on in Macrofelt tonight. Preaching Christ. Can I say in closing, can I ask, I wonder, have you seen something of yourself and something of my testimony? As you look back over your life, you can maybe say, yes, I have had an upbringing that has been privileged in the gospel. Preacher, I know my need of the Savior. I have respect for God's house, of a church attendance, maybe second to none. But are you still rejecting him? Are you saying still no? I will not have this man to rule over me. I wonder, man, woman, young person tonight, will you have done with your sin? Will you repent? That's what it means. Turn away. Do an about turn. In my young day, I used to do a wee bit of drill work. Marching. The brigade. An about turn is actually an illustration of repentance. Turning from your sin, you're turning onto the Savior by faith. I wonder, will you come tonight and seek the Lord while his Spirit is striving with you? But remember this, God says, my Spirit will not always strive with men. Not always strive with men. I'd have no greater joy than to point you to the Savior tonight. And I know the Reverend McKee would be exactly the same. Will you come? Will you seek the Lord? This last bow our heads in a word of prayer before the Reverend McKee comes. I bring the closing hymn. I just want to say thank you to your minister for his preaching, for his teaching ministry to my family. I want to say to the Sunday school teacher, thank you, teaching Christ to my grandchildren. Keep at it. Pray for those children around your feet. The Lord will save every one of them. Is there one tonight that will come seek the Lord? I'm here afterwards, so is your minister. I'll gladly open the scriptures to you. You can come just simply in childlike faith. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the sense of thy presence tonight. Bless thee for thy word, which is truth. Thank you, Lord, Paul could say, I've been called by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Thank you, Lord, for saving this old sinner. Lord, what you've done for me, you can do for others. I pray, Lord, tonight that thou would do for some soul that's been long prayed for. This will be the night, the last day of April 2023. The Lord saved me. God, answer prayer. Speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. For we pray these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.